clear. Oh, it comes off Hughes. A wee bit better. Here's McHugh.
This call is being recorded.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself and Jay are joined by Joe McKelvey to look back on a disappointing week for Motherwell. We'll preview the two big games over Christmas against Kilmarnock and Hamilton. And there'll be a few other talking points, I'm sure, over the next three quarters of an hour or so. Guys, welcome along.
Cheers.
Cheers, Barrett.
Well, Jay, last week's podcast was of record time, 27 minutes with an intro, an outro and an advert in between. This week, given how disappointing the week has been, I would imagine it will be substantially longer than that. We'll start with yesterday's game against St Mirren, a hugely disappointing 1-0 defeat. A poor game, a poor performance. And in terms of putting distance between ourselves and St Mirren at the foot of the table, a significant defeat at that as well.
Yeah, that's it. It's certainly not the kind of game that... You know, it's not a result that I think anybody needs to panic over in terms of our position in the league, in terms of the relegation battle, but it could prove to be significant as the year goes on, or as the season goes on. It was just so disappointing. I think we all knew it was an important game anyway. You know, although we've started, you know, got ground out some decent victories recently against the likes of Aberdeen and St Johnstone, that is still a very recent thing. Up until that point, you were really looking at Dundee and St Mirren as the two teams that you could at least go and feel confident about taking all 3 points against. And so to turn up yesterday and put in that bad a performance was just unreal. I don't understand it. You know, we've said quite a lot about the fact that we are inconsistent, and yes, we have young players and we have players who, you know, aren't consistently performing well, and we do have this kind of Jekyll and Hyde team. But I don't see any explanation for what happened yesterday. At the end of the day, St Mirren weren't the better team by, you know, I think they had a spell of maybe 5-10 minutes around the time that they scored that they had a little bit of belief. But other than that, they were dross and we were just worse. It was just utterly bizarre. It was pathetic all over the park. No fight, no spirit, no determination. And the big problem we've actually got is the whole performance and the result is magnified by what went on Wednesday. You know, the fact that we clearly pinpointed this game as so important as to make as many changes as we did for the game on Wednesday, it just magnifies how bad a performance and how bad a result it was. And even as the game went on, you just never felt at any point that things were going to change. You know, we obviously brought on Biggie for Mbulu, but then just put Biggie into midfield and pushed McHugh back, so there was no change of shape. And then at the end, it was almost like panic stations. You didn't get the impression that throwing on Bowman and Salmon and going with four strikers up top was a genuine, you know, plan B. It was essentially just panic stations. Shit, what do we do now? Let's just do that. And that didn't even work. You know, we were just horrendous at that, at even getting the ball to them or creating chances. We could have literally spent another couple of hours with all four of our strikers on the park and we would never have scored. The whole thing was just pathetic. And it was, you know, I think at one point, quite late on, one of the guys at the game just burst into laughter. I can't remember what it was. It was about 89th minute. And something happened. And it was just hysterics because it was genuinely got to the point where if you didn't laugh, you would cry. It was just that bad a performance.
Joe, the changes were well documented for the midweek game. And they were clearly done with this game, first and foremost, in mind. That's backfired for the manager. And when you do make these sweeping changes and almost somewhat forfeit a game, you've got to be able to back it up in a subsequent game. And they've not managed to do that yesterday.
Absolutely not. It's, I've seen a lot of opinions on Wednesday night and social media. It's obviously seen the stance yourself took. And then there was others who were the other side of it. I was kind of somewhere in the middle. I think there's were perhaps too many changes on Wednesday night. Maybe one or two less might have been more appropriate. But that said, the manager then has to own that decision and not necessarily put on a result, and the game that follows it, because, I mean, you know, anything can happen in a game of football, but I think the least that could have happened after resting these players and making the wholesale changes was that we at least put a performance on yesterday. And as Jay said, even with the four strikers on, we could have gone all night and not scored. We didn't perform anywhere near the level that looked as if players had been rested and well prepared for that game, going out with a game plan. It was absolutely pitiful yesterday.
Jay, it's hard to think of one player who would get past Marks. Maybe Mark Gillespie for his two saves at the end when we were chasing the game. But I think my main observation about the game was how much we lack any sort of width to our game. We don't have any, or we didn't have any natural wingers on the park yesterday. I don't think we've got a great number of them in the squad either. So we ended up with Liam Grimshaw out wide, Curtis Main out wide. And then subsequently, you can't create much chances when guys you'd be aiming for in the box are forced out wide. The last 10 minutes, we were playing a 0-5-5 formation. It was utterly ridiculous that we're no threat up top. Just such a tame performance, and attacking-wise, really, really poor.
Yeah, I mean, the width thing is a very good point, and it's, you know, kind of what I was suggesting when I mentioned the fact that, you know, when you see Mbolo going off and Biggie coming on, you maybe start to think, okay, what is the thought process here? Are we going to have four at the back? Are we going to, you know, what is the changes to the shape? And there were none. We just continued what we were doing, which clearly wasn't working. There was absolutely no width whatsoever. And I think, you know, what makes it strange to me, I think, was the 4-4-2 with the diamond worked so well away to St Mirren when Robbo decided to go with that. And I'm not suggesting that you know, simply say, right, every time we play St Mirren now, we're going to go with a 4-4-2 diamond because it worked on that day. That's not how football works. But it almost feels as though, you know, we had that little spell where we were kind of going from a 3 to a 4 and it was working. And then we got a couple of results, seemed to grow in confidence, and then we seemed to have just went straight back to the 3 and refused to budge from that again. I don't really understand how, you know, after an hour or whatever it was when Biggie came on, we still thought it made sense just to change personnel but continue that shape, because it was so clear that there was no width to the game whatsoever. And, you know, guys like, you know, Elliot Freer, you know, he might as well not be on the bench because he's a winger. We all know that he's a winger. We all know that we will never, ever play with wingers. At least, you know, in the current situation. So, you know, it's just soul destroying is the only way to kind of put it. You know, you're sitting watching it and you're crying out for a change, crying out for a plan B. And I kind of, you know, touched on it, you know, the start when I said about I don't understand it. There's so many things I don't understand about the game yesterday, including why we didn't try and change shape a little more. If there's one thing, for all his critics and for all his flaws, if there's one thing that Stephen Robinson has shown that he has absolutely no issues in doing, is making changes, and relatively early. We've all seen plenty of sort of, you know, double substitutions at half time, or, you know, sometimes even hooking somebody off in the first half to change shape. He's good at, you know, I think he's good at responding to what's going on at the park for the most part, but it just didn't happen yesterday. I mean, it was almost as though, you know, it was, we have to be 3-5-2 up until the last 10, and then it was, right, shit, we're definitely not going to score here, so let's just throw all the strikers on. It was just baffling, absolutely baffling. And as Joe touched upon there, I'm probably in the exact same boat as Joe. After the game on Wednesday, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and pretend that I jumped on the team selection bandwagon. I did say at the time I thought it was maybe overkill, but I did say I understood completely the idea of resting players, as managers do it all over the world. This game yesterday had obviously been earmarked as the big one, so why not rest some of your players or wrap them in cotton wool so you can go and give the performance and get the 3 points you need on the Saturday. But if you do that, then even if the team you put out today should have won, which, let's be honest, they should have, I've got some sympathy for Stephen Robinson, but he can't really control the absolute lackluster and, you know, generally pathetic performances from that team. But the manager, as Joe says, he needs to own the decision. If you make a decision that had quite a lot of people rather, you know, irked on Wednesday, you know, there was a little bit of outrage, at least on forums and social media regarding it, particularly from those who'd forked out 28 quid for it. If you make those decisions, you make that team selection and you lose that game. If you then follow up with the big important game that you have pinpointed and rested those players for. As Joe says, if they put in that kind of performance, the buck you know, stops with you. I just don't really know where we kind of go from here, because that obviously was the team yesterday that is our strongest 11. That's why you rest so many players the Wednesday before. So what do we do now for Boxing Day or the Accies game? Do we continue with it because we've rested those players, particularly for these three games, or do we now make changes because they were so absolutely honking yesterday?
The substitution at the end, and I'll go back to the team selection when we talk about the Celtic game, but the substitution at the end when Connor Salmon and Ryan Bowman came on, it took an absolute age for these guys to actually get on the park. Joe, is we all know that Stephen Robinson's received a 3-match touchline ban following an altercation with the fourth official in the defeat at Ibrox. Keith Lasley flying solo in the dugout yesterday. Did something go wrong there? It seemed very strange that it took so long. Given the ball was possibly out 4 or 5 times before we eventually made the substitution, you've got two guys stripped and ready to go that didn't get on for I reckon it was maybe about 4 or 5 minutes they stood in the touchline. By the time they got on, they're cold. They didn't make a great deal of impact when they came on. Is there an issue there that perhaps Stephen Robinson and Keith Lasley were struggling to communicate with Robinson being in the stand?
Possibly, but I reckon these kind of decisions are ones that are discussed beforehand and kind of thought about. The thing for me, the reason I thought that they didn't come on for as long as they did was that we were obviously bringing off Tate and Campbell, I think it was, for those two. And when you're bringing two sort of more defensively minded players on, you are kind of going in a sort of gung-ho formation. I think for me, I thought what they delayed it with was quite a lot of the time they were camped deep in our own half. So I think they were maybe waiting to a point where we were defensively secure enough in that moment in the game before they brought on an extra two strikers and took off a left-back and a centre midfielder. For me personally, talking about the substitution in itself, I found it a downright bizarre one. I don't know what he was trying to achieve by playing those four strikers along the same line. I mean, you look at them with the exception of Johnson, who's a slightly more dynamic striker. You're talking about essentially three guys who, if they are going to get in the score sheet, it's going to be from a ball coming into the box to them. But see if these guys are the guys that are in the positions where the ball should come into the box from, then they're going to be ineffective. They're not going to work. It's just for me, it was utterly baffling. It's just like you're trying to get yourself back into a game. It's just far too naive and simplistic to think putting as many strikers on as possible is going to be the way to achieve that. And for me, you had Freer on the bench. Obviously, it would figure that if he featured not at all on Wednesday night and he didn't feature again yesterday at a time where the manager is rotating the squad, that obviously signals that he's very far from the manager's mind. But when you've got someone like him on the pitch who it divides opinion the time he's had on the pitch, I quite like Freer myself, but He could get to the byline, put a cross in more likely than anyone else that was on the pitch yesterday. And when you think about it that way, would you rather have had two of the three of Connor Salmon and Bowman and Main on, or would you rather do that with a winger, or would you rather just have square holes and round pegs? Did I phrase that wrong? You would rather have a winger on than have these one-dimensional strikers who are just on the park so that you've got the lip service to say, oh, well, we tried to change it, we tried to bring strikers on. I mean, I think, yesterday was the first game I've made in the flesh for a good while, but I thought yesterday that Curtis Main was so ineffective that if you were going to bring on Main and Salmon, you could really have got away with taking him off. I don't think there was going to be a point yesterday where a positive contribution from the game was going. So in terms of how the substitution was made, I don't think there's major concerns there. But in terms of the substitution itself, it was a head scratcher for me.
Jay, I've pinpointed the width has been a problem, but Danny Johnson aside, you could Curtis Main, Connor Salmon, and Ryan Bowman, all strikers, we don't really score goals. That's a major problem as well. We're a team that lack creativity, and then up top, we've only got one player that can put the ball in the net. He spent half the season on the sidelines as a sub as well. He's had limited starts. I think that'll be 10 or 11 starts he's made now this season. I'm just so confused by how we turn this around. We're desperately poor in many areas of the park. We're dire to watch. We're not scoring goals. We're losing to sides like St Mirren, who, while it might sound slightly disrespectful towards St Mirren, I believe that at any time of supporting Motherwell, I've always believed when we go into a game against the likes of St Mirren, we should be winning the game. We're not entitled to win the game, and that shows yesterday by how poor and abject we were. We deserve to lose. That's absolutely not up for debate. But we should have a belief that we've gone into these games and we're going to win it. Of course we should. We don't have no divine right. And again, I've explained my reasons for that. But I just don't see where we go from here. We play Kilmarnock. We have had a fantastic 2018. Yes, they dropped points at Accies yesterday, but they'll certainly regard going to Accies and drawing with them as dropping points. So why can't we think the same when we're playing sides around us in the table? Are below us in the table? I just kind of struggle to see how this changes and how this turns around. I've not been directly kind of... I've been on the fence when it comes to Robinson and his future, but I now think I'm veering very much towards something has to change, and I think it has to change at the top to reinvigorate and to get a manager in who is going to bring changes in personnel. If we keep the manager as it is just now, then we're going to give him another transfer window. And while Stephen Robinson had a great 2017-2018 season, that was more in the cups than it was the league. We were poor at many occasions last season. This season has been absolutely dreadful. There's no getting away from it. And if it wasn't for a very poor Dundee side and a very poor St Mirren side, I reckon any other season we would be almost accepting our fate as relegation. So something has to change. I don't know whether, and I couldn't name someone off the top of my head who could come in, but I just think that this is the tipping point. Yesterday was very much the tipping point.
As I said at the start, I mean, you know, for me, it was a terrible, terrible performance. It's something that this, you know, a Stephen Robinson side is capable of. You know, it's not even just this season. We had, you know, plenty of podcasts last season, particularly over the period of, you know, October, November, December, where we were serving up some of the single worst performances I have seen from Motherwell sides. And, you know, it's just continued. We don't seem capable of building a side. Over the last two seasons or so, we don't seem capable of putting together a team which is, you know, even just consistently half decent. You know, we seem to be capable of the worst performances I have seen in many, many years. And for me, yesterday was one of them. So there certainly does seem to be something wrong there. You know, particularly because, as I've said before, Stephen Robinson hasn't made much of a song and dance about it maybe this season, but particularly last season, there was a massive, massive amount discussed about mentality of players, about players who have the right mindset. You know, we would analyse their social media accounts, we would do a lot of research to make sure that they had the correct character and would fight to the death and all those kind of things. You just don't see that this season. You know, I mean, at what point yesterday did you get the impression that that was a Motherwell side that believed they could win that game? I certainly didn't. And as I said earlier, I think the only real difference was that St Mirren actually went through about a 10-minute spell where, you know, either just maybe 5-10 minutes either side of their goal, where you actually saw them visibly increase in belief, and they thought, oh, wait a minute, we could get something here. We never did. And that's concerning, because we're not talking about, you know, a new team. We're not talking about a new manager. We're talking about a manager who's been there for, you know, a couple of years now, and a team that is so ingrained as our first choice 11, presumably, that it you know, was massively, you know, a huge proportion of it was rested during the week. So there is certainly something wrong. What I would say, though, and I touched upon it earlier, you know, I'm not hitting any panic buttons at all. At the end of the day, I still believe St Mirren and Dundee will occupy those bottom two places. And I still believe it will be between ourselves and Aki's, you know, for 9th and 10th. But I think any suggestion that after, you know, after getting good results against Aberdeen, Celtic and St Johnstone, I think there was maybe a suggestion of perhaps we could start to look up the table. I think yesterday confirmed that we are just not good enough to aspire to anything above 9th. And that's concerning in the long run. So when you're discussing Robinson's future and things like that, I think in the short term, you've brought in a manager, given him a budget for finishing 10th. And, you know, if he does so or finishes 9th, I don't think that there's any way you could, you know, realistically argue that that manager deserves to lose his job. So I think as bad as yesterday was and as baffling as some of the decisions are, as much as I disagree with some of the decisions he makes and some of the lineups, and as bad as the football can be at times, you know, I don't think there are actual grounds to, you know, sack him at the moment. However, what I would say is if we are talking long term, basically from, you know, the summer onwards, I think we have all now seen that the Stephen Robinson style of football isn't particularly enjoyable. I don't think we're going anywhere. I don't think we're progressing any. I think you could argue that we've actually went backwards on last season. So although I would suggest he's still meeting his targets and he is still doing the things that, you know, would keep him a job, because at the end of the day, you can't bring in a manager and tell them, right, we want you to do this and we're going to give you this budget. And if he actually does slightly better than that, you then go, well, the fans don't like the fans don't like that you lost to St Mirren, so you're getting sacked. I don't think that's the way you run a football club. But I do think there is an argument at the moment that the hoofball we're playing, just the general style of football we're playing, the apathy that surrounds Motherwell, you know, and I suppose also the stubbornness to adapt or to bring in, you know, we're sitting talking about Elliot Freer. What happens when we bring Jake Hastie back from Alloa? You know, the highly rated Jake Hastie that everybody wants to see develop. Is he going to be turned into a left wing back? Because that certainly, you know, all the signs would suggest that if he gets any game time, he's probably going to be playing, you know, in one of the wing back slots or perhaps more centrally. But he's certainly not going to be on the wing. You know, we could rule that out because it just doesn't happen. So I do think in the short term, I think the shout, you know, the suggestion that we should get rid of the manager, I think, you know, I personally don't think that could be justified, because I don't think that you can set targets for managers and set budgets and expectations for managers and then sack them because they've met them, which, you know, is actually what is, you know, we can argue all day about how shit the football is, but the targets or the, presumably the expectations have been met so far. But in terms of the long term, I would have concerns, because it's going to lose, you know, there are actual folk not going to games anymore. It's as simple as that. The football is so dire. The way we actually set out to play is so dire. We deliberately play a way that is off-putting, that nobody wants to see, that I would argue scuppers the chances of young players, and that's a concern for me. So as much as I disagree that there's any kind of chat for me, certainly about, you know, the immediacy of a Robinson out campaign, I do think it's something that the club should perhaps be considering in the long term. You know, is at the end of the season, unless there's a great upturn after the new year, is this really the kind of the football that we want to be seeing on display week in, week out at Fir Park? Because for me, it's absolutely not.
John, Jay has made numerous good points in amongst that, but for me, the concern is we, at this moment in time, I don't have enough belief, well, me personally, I don't have enough belief in this team and in the manager at the moment, given the way we're playing and the results we're producing, that we won't be dragged into this relegation dogfight. And while he's been given an objective of finishing 9th or finishing 10th, there's nothing for me I can see on display that suggests that we won't finish 11th or 12th.
Yeah, absolutely. From what I've been able to see this season, I've not been to as many games as normal with my own football commitments, but from what I have seen this season, what I think is going to stand us in good stead is the fact that I think there are three teams that are perhaps marginally worse than us, although that was an opinion I held more strongly yesterday morning than I certainly do, having been to the game yesterday now. Thinking about it yesterday, we were a team sort of devoid of any style, devoid of any kind of game plan as such. And I think if you trust Robinson on his own merits of what he's been judged on, and that's probably, he's probably got the 10th highest budget in the league, and their aspirations will be to finish 10th. Maybe those seasons where we were finishing second and things, we were spending money that we couldn't afford to keep up to. But the thing that worries me about this is that Robinson seems to be at the minute getting one result every few games that keeps us away from that. So the thing that worries me is, will there be a point where that every few games doesn't happen? I think that's very possible. And I think that we need to think about the fact that many fans are becoming apathetic to the entertainment that's on show just now, or lack thereof. He seems to have filled the team with journeymen grafters. There seems to be plenty of guys in the team who commitment and work rate and attitude and things certainly override their footballing ability. And I think that was perhaps a bit more prevalent in their play last season when we were a bit higher up the table and doing well in the cups. But it seems that sort of work great and attitude you see from certain players as their pros in this squad are things that naturally drift back the way when you're on a bad run of form and you're struggling the way we are just now. The thing that concerns me is that you're looking at David Turnbull, who's out of contract at the end of the season, and I don't know, I might have been missing some information here, but for me, the fact that David Turnbull's still not signed on the dotted line when he's essentially been our best player in recent weeks, when Robinson spent the summer out signing guys like Alex Gorin, who's barely kicked a ball for us, Aaron Taylor, Sinclair, and then you look at the young players that have come into the team under Robinson. Well, Cadden was already in the team, sorry, but you would say that from when Robinson arrived, Cadden stagnated. He's been a victim of his own versatility. He's got to the stage where he's now, 22 years old, and no one, 3 or 4 seasons in the first team, and no one can really know his best position is. The guy puts his heart and soul into it, but you can see his form suffered under Robinson's style. And I didn't think this would happen last season when I seen a lot of games and I seen Alan Campbell, how well he played. But then when you look at him this season, he's not the player he was. I thought he was the kind of player that would thrive in a Steve Robinson formation at all times. But then if I was David Turnbull, I wouldn't blame him if his agent's turning his head and saying to him, well, if they really wanted you, we could have got you before now. And if you might be saying to him, look, Cads was flying and then Robinson's put him backwards a wee bit, the same way Alan Campbell. Is that really what you want to be with a young player? And I just think both the promotion of youth players or lack of that and poor recruitment in the summer is responsible for where we are now. I think last season we saw a team where Robinson came in and had his first full season, and I think the first phase of coming into a team that conceded as many goals as we did latterly under Mark McGee is to shut the back door, is to get a team where they aren't conceding as many goals as possible, and whatever style you need to do to achieve that is phase one of building a team. But I think in the summer, he didn't want to move to a phase two. I think if you look at the team last season, they were honest grafters. They finished 7th, 2 cup finals. That's over and above what you would have expected when Robinson came in to replace Mark McGee. But you've seen there was one or two things lacking. Then you a creative midfielder, which perhaps Turnbull could have been and is now being, and a dynamic striker. And you think, had we maybe made, and again, sorry, a left wing back as well, to be sort of a long-term replacement for Hamill at left back and to have a void having to play Tate in his unfamiliar side. But going through those are three areas I thought in the summer that if we did have little budget to improve our team on, we should have done that. Added a little bit of quality rather than a lot of quantity in the whole sort of 12 to 18 strengthening thing that Robinson said. And I think that's just been a real detriment to him, a detriment to us, and kind of shows you why we're on here talking about a 1-0 defeat to a St Mirren team who were by no means great themselves.
Jay, we'll discuss the Celtic game briefly. It was a comprehensive defeat. I don't think that comes as a massive surprise when you're playing a side with the quality Celtic have. They were on the back of a few negative results and would have been keen to bounce back. That being said, we didn't really present much of a challenge, did we?
No, as I said earlier, I know there was a lot made about the team selection and, you know, the rights and wrongs of it. I said at the time, as I said earlier, I understood it. I thought it was maybe a little bit overkill, but, you know, at the end of the day, you just need to look at the press that some kind of even Premiership managers get down south for putting out weaker sides in cup competitions. You know, the idea of a manager resting players or ratting players in cotton wool because he identifies a more important game is nothing new. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. As we said earlier, it then needs to work. And if it doesn't, then, you know, the kind of the onus is on the manager. But for me, the big kind of concerns or the big disappointment about the game on Wednesday was the way we then went about it. It's one thing to pick, you know, a weaker team because you've kind of written the game off or you've not got anything to lose. But it's then, you know, there's essentially then two ways you can go. You can go, well, we've written the game off. We don't expect to get anything. So we'll go and have a wee bit of a go, or we'll, you know, at least try and put them under pressure, or maybe try and come out the traps early and unsettle them. You know, there's certain ways you can go about it that you're still looking to take something from the game, albeit with a weaker side. Or you can basically say, you know, we don't expect to win, so we're not even going to bother trying. And that's the kind of perception that I got from the game. I've never seen, you know, a setup where not only was it a weakened side, but you've got Connor Salmon essentially at left wing back, Ryan Bowman essentially at right wing back, and Andy Rose, the furthest player forward, still inside our own half, just waiting for one of the centre halves for Celtic to carry over the halfway line so he can go and pressure him. At no point did we even look interested in, you know, getting anything from the game on Wednesday. And that was a disappointment for me. By all means, rest players. By all means, say, right, Celtic Park is very unlikely we're going to get anything, so we'll save X, Y, and Z for St Mirren. But allow the guys that you've then picked the chance to go and do something. Allow them to, you know, either get into your thoughts for after January, you know, in terms of breaking into the first team, or some of those guys we already know will move on. We certainly know Andy Rose is going to move on anyway, but we already know from Robinson's comments that he needs to move guys on, presumably guys who played on Wednesday night. So try and give them a chance to go in the shop window. Nobody's going to watch Connor Salmon play at left wing back, being constantly roasted by Anthony Ralston, and think, oh yeah, we'll sign him. I mean, it was pointless. It was almost as though not only did we decide to pick a weakened team to rest players for Saturday, but we did so with, you know, strapping every one of them with a white flag, a surrender as they went out. At no point did we want to win the game. We would have been as well not being there. We essentially just, you know, fulfilled a fixture obligation and nothing more. And that was a disappointment for me. The team selection, as I said at the time, didn't have a great issue with it. I thought it was a bit overkill, but by all means, rest players. But don't then, you know, do what we did. It was just embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing. And, you know, when you then make all those changes for the game on Saturday and get a similar performance, you know, it just doesn't look good in terms of the week we've just had.
Yeah, it was hugely disappointing. I don't think any of us are naive enough to think we could go to Celtic Park and go toe-to-toe with the champions. But when you don't turn up for a game, I'm pretty sure you get a 3-0 forfeit defeat and we would have been as well. Just doing that, because it was an absolute insult to anyone that paid £28 to go and watch that there. As supporters, particularly at this time of year, there's a lot of demands put in supporters. Of course, you don't have to go to every game. A lot of people want to follow their team as much as they possibly can. And a few hundred Mudl supporters did put their hands in their pockets and go along to follow the team. I think it was somewhat disrespectful to make changes in that scale. The manager quite often bemoans the lack of depth and the lack of budget he has available to him. So to then bring in and make sweeping changes like that kind of undermines his own point a wee bit. And the the performance, it was just timid, and we really were run over. If Celtic fancied scoring a few more, they certainly would have. That being said, if we then went on to win against St Mirren, I think it would all been quickly forgotten about. It had been brushed under the carpet, and Stephen Robinson could have referenced it and almost kind of felt pretty vindicated by his choices. Unfortunately, it looks like it's backfired. I don't think any of the players that were brought in put themselves in the shot window, to say the least. Gilbert Romana obviously started the game, and he was culpable, eyes for the St Mirren goal yesterday. Just a very confusing selection. And while I can see reasons for resting players, making it on that scale, on the back of such a significant win at St Johnstone and such a morale boosting win, somewhat confusing, and it did backfire. Joe, I don't really have anything to ask you on the Celtic game. Is there anything you would like to add, though?
I don't think so, really. I think most points have been covered. The wholesale changes didn't work. We were humbled. That's that, really. You don't go to Celtic Park expecting to come away with anything. But as I said earlier on in the podcast, that if a manager is going to make so many changes to a team, he's got to own it at the weekend with a clear instruction of how they went out to play and a game plan, and there wasn't that. So you would definitely say that this week has been a massive failure.
We definitely need something to cheer us up, and you can too with our offer from beer52.com. Beer52 are the world's largest craft beer discovery club, and you can try it now for $2.95. That's 8 craft beers for just $2.95 postage and packaging. Beer52 have a 5-star rating Trustpilot, so it's easy to see that their members love their service. So why not head over now to beer52.com/MFC and claim your free case today. Big games don't stop after a disappointing week. And on Boxing Day, Kilmarnock visit Fir Park. Joe Kelly have had a magnificent 2018, as I've already mentioned. Topped the league twice during December. They've accumulated the most points in the top flight over the calendar year so far. This is not in any shape or form going to be an easy game. I don't think even the result is the most significant matter in this game. I just want to see a response from the players, a performance of some sort, and give us a wee bit of hope going into the Accies game, which will be our final game of 2018, and also give us a wee bit of hope going forward following that winter break.
Yeah, it's a difficult one on Wednesday and Boxing Day against Kilmarnock, because like you, I kind of don't particularly expect us to win. Obviously, Kilmarnock have done very well over the last 6 months of the last season, and then the start of this season. We're looking at a team that are in decent form, as you say, have topped the league twice in December. And like you, the performance is the thing for me. If we go out and play like we did against St Mirren, we can kiss goodbye to any sort of hope of 3 points, hope of anything from the game, really. I just personally, when I go to a Motherwell game on a Saturday and there's one on the Wednesday, in my head, I can normally know what I would like the team to be on the Wednesday. But I look at who played from the start yesterday, who didn't impact things from the bench. And I can't for the life of me say I want X player to come in to try and change it. Because I think if you look at us up front, I think if you were to bring either of the options that were on the bench, Bowman or Salmon, into the team, I don't think they would offer us particularly anything too different. And as much as Main and Johnson didn't set the heather on fire on Saturday, I just don't see much change in that. And midfield, there's obviously one or two things you could do. He obviously has a reluctance to play anything other than a 3-5-2 at the minute, and if he does change from that, it's likely to be a 4, so you can't see Elliot Freer coming in. I just think it's one of those ones that insanity's doing the same things over and over again and expecting different results. This is probably why you could say I'm getting closer to not being on side with Robinson, is that we done so badly against St Mirren on yesterday, and I don't see how anything substantial will change on Wednesday for us to get anything out of the game. I think we're kind of at the almost out of ideas point. We got to the point where earlier in the podcast we said that in terms of what his remit is to finish above the playoff space and keep us in the division. He's meeting that target at the minute, so you can't say too much in terms of that. But when you look at the bigger picture from that, we're now look like a team devoid of ideas and playing football that's making the fans apathetic. And I mean, it seems to be the hallmark of Stephen Robinson is a single goal defeat. And the we go again themed interview that comes with it. So I would say at this moment in time, I'm very pessimistic about the Kilmarnock game. But quite often in football, you'll find that it's the times when you are pessimistic and you expect nothing from the game that you do get something. So that's possibly what I'm clinging on to at the moment. But I don't think, after watching yesterday, I don't think we're in a particularly good place at the minute.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be extremely difficult. And then 3 days later, Jay will head to Aki's for the Lanarkshire Derby, another hugely significant game. And we've mentioned that, or you've mentioned that you believe that it'll be ourselves and Aki's who battle it out for ninth spot. It's going to be a difficult game and a difficult surface. There'll be a strong Motherwell support, you would have to imagine. There tends to be over the festive period. I really hope that we can put something together and get a result and hope more than belief that we're going to go out and we're going to produce the goods, because you'll be up against a side that are rigid, they're hard to break down. I almost foresee a game kind of like this St Johnstone game at Fir Park, kind of like yesterday's game, where the first goal is very likely to win it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. You look at this season so far, and you it's not out with the realms of possibility that we go and put in a great performance against Kilmarnock and then get horsed off the Aki's, because we are just that kind of team this year. Aki's itself is it's always a difficult game. They're always right up for it. A unique surface, as you say. So it's certainly not going to be an easy game. And again, it's one of those ones where it's hard to really judge the Saturday game when you've got a Wednesday game first. I just don't really know. It's you know, we are so inconsistent and we are so capable of, you know, going out and putting, you know, at least hard battling performances and grinding out results against, you know, away to St Johnstone, home to Aberdeen, even, you know, getting the point against Celtic late on. And yet, you know, we follow up with absolutely turgid performances. So it's really down to the players. You know, we've spoke a lot about Robinson today, but I said that a couple of weeks ago. At some point, I think the players need to really, really look in the mirror and ask themselves serious, serious questions. At the end of the day, we could talk all day about, you know, the lineup against Celtic and, you know, the lack of width. But at the end of the day, there were 11 players on that part yesterday and, you know, three more who came on who are earning a good wage at a good level, who should be looking at that St Mirren side and saying, we're better than this side. We are up for this. We are capable of winning this. We believe that we can win this. And, you know, I don't think any of them showed that. So as much as we're talking about Robinson here, I think there's plenty of players in Claret and Amber this season who really, really need to have a good hard look at themselves. You know, who knows what's going to happen? You know, these two games, Kilmarnock, it is a very, very difficult game. They're flying. Stevie Clark has done a phenomenal job there. You know, kind of shows that, you know, it's not all about budget. It's, you know, you can get players playing well and being organised and get winning games without, you know, having, you know, one of the top three or four budgets in the league. But that will be a very, very difficult game. But it's not out with the realms of possibility that this Motherwell side could go and beat Kilmarnock and then get a result at Aki's, or get absolutely horsed in both games, you know, thanks to two utterly woeful performances. We are just that unpredictable this season. We are that kind of bipolar when it comes to our performance levels. And that's a worry because, you know, as you say, it's a difficult time of year when everybody's spending money. So if these games are showcasing, you know, if people are really putting the effort in over these few weeks to dig deep into their pockets, you know, maybe cancelling other plans, you know, on Boxing Day and things like that because they want to go and support their team. If they're served up the kind of nonsense that we were served up yesterday, then after the January, you know, the winter break, not everybody's going to come back because everybody has their breaking point. And if we continue to serve up performances like we have in the last two games and the next two games, then I wouldn't be surprised if people use that winter break to start looking at other things to do for the rest of the season, because it is really, when we're bad, we are that bad.
Yeah, there was certainly an element of that, the full-time whistle yesterday, where you almost felt like that was the case, that the tide has maybe turned. And I don't even think that I can hear it as much directed at the manager. It was just real discontent about how a side could produce such terrible quality. And far too often it's happened this season. I thought we'd almost turned the corner.
Sorry, thought my phone was in silent and I went through an Instagram story. My apologies.
Good to see you're really concentrating. Yeah, I don't think it was even directed as much solely at the manager. It was just in the general direction of the pitch and a kind of vent of disgust about what had went on before their eyes. It was a dreadful performance, and we really need to have something that can bring us back up, because the mood is very, very despondent just now. That being said, this is the last podcast before Christmas, and I would just like to take the time to wish everyone that's supported and listened to the podcast, guested in the podcast, wish them a very Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Joe. Merry Christmas, Jay. We do appreciate everyone that takes the time to listen and get involved in the stuff that we do. We'll wrap up 2018 with a review of the year, which at points has been good, at points certainly hasn't been as good. And then after that, we'll be back for a podcast following the Aki's game. And then after that, we'll also take a winter break and return following the Ross County game in the Scottish Cup. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for today. Unless you can think of anything that I've missed, given that I've not got a schedule in front of me.
Absolutely not.
No, I think we've covered enough pain and suffering.
Yeah, it's quite often cathartic, and I think tonight's was a disappointing week. We've had quite a few of them this season. I think we're all well versed when it comes to losing, but as we often get told, there's a way to lose football matches, and the way this team currently are losing football matches is far from good enough. Things could change this week. I can't see it happening, but we go again, I guess, and yeah, bring on Kilmarnock. Hopefully we can enjoy Christmas Eve and Christmas Day before we have to suffer again in Boxing Day. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back following the Hamilton game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Who's got a beard that's long and white?
Who comes round on special night?
Who comes round on special night?
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Suit of red.
Santa wears boots and suit of red.
Who wears a long cap on his head?
Santa wears a long cap on his head.
Cap on head, suit of red. Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
Who's got a big red cherry nose?
Santa's got a big red cherry nose.
Who laughs this way, ho ho ho?
Santa laughs this way, ho ho ho.
Ho ho ho, cherry nose. Cap on head, suit that's red. Special night.
Santa very soon will come our way.
Eight little reindeers put a sleigh.
Santa's little reindeer.
Nixon, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, Nixon, Thatcher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Connor, Reagan, Bush, and Clinton. When you stay, come my way. Ho, 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 cherry nose, cap on head, suit that's red, special night, beard that's white. Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa.